Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Check it out. You already know this your folks, Trillville.
Yes, sir.
And you already know you tune in to 92.9 The Game with who? Andy and Randy.
Yes, sir. Welcome back, man.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday, final hour brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. Smoke and Joe Patrick will join us in about 20 minutes as we continue to get ready for the Falcons and the Colts. Sunday morning, live from Berlin, kickoff at 9:30. All your pregame coverage, including me and Joe, on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show begins at 5:30. We'll get to an AMA at 1:40 as well. Any question, any topic, phone lines will be open, 404-726-0929. We'll get back into the big story of the day momentarily.
Yes, I thought I had to sneeze.
Oh,
yeah,
like, that's the worst.
Yeah, like, keep talking, Andy. I think it's coming out right now. But, playing overseas, we're talking about Berlin and the significance of where the Falcons are playing at and, you know, all the historic, things that went on in that stadium. And I was just thinking, like,
Is it the same stadium?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an old-ass stadium.
Yeah, man.
That's great.
Yeah, man. But I was thinking, like, okay, so they got one in South America, obviously the London games, this one here. Have they played anywhere else regular season?
They're about to play in Spain.
Or
maybe
okay.
They did. They played in Mexico.
Oh, that's what it was. I knew it was another country. They played in Mexico. Uh-huh.
Toronto.
Oh, did they have had a Canada game?
The Bills? Remember?
Yeah, that don't count. Okay. I'm talking about across the pond.
Well, I met the Mexico, not either.
Did Seattle play in Vancouver?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
But they used to always go and play in Tokyo. I know the preseason.
They got the scheduled and Sydney game, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing.
Years.
That's what they're doing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was curious. I'm like, okay, they're doing a Sydney game. All right. Just curious until, you know, eventually they're going to have a snow game in Antarctica. Yeah, as long as the TV cameras can get down there and fans can pack a stadium. They will figure it out.
If the Penguins are willing to pay for tickets, they'll put a game in Antarctica.
Damn sure will. They damn sure will. Anywhere, any place else you want to go NFL? Yeah, that's about it.
North Pole, get Santa in there.
Yeah, man.
Christmas game in the North Pole.
Oh, I mean, how genius idea. How genius is that right there?
Let the elves be the refs.
Y'all saw the stadium that they're trying to build in Saudi Arabia, right?
I didn't,
Sky Stadium?
Wouldn't doubt it.
It's a
soccer stadium.
The stadium
like
is actually
feet up, in the air.
Up high in the skyscraper.
Are you serious?
They want World Cup 2020, whatever the next one is after 2026.
Oh, they'll figure that out because how the, if you watch that documentary, the World Cup in Qatar was some raggedy ass stuff.
Yeah.
So they'll get it.
Yeah, AKA just all the money.
Yeah.
Just all the money to all the people.
That's
that need
the busiest and one of the coolest airports I've ever seen. Mm. The Qatar airport, it was. I mean, just jumping all night long.
I know there's a lot that goes into all that for sure. But like one thing that I do think about with that you're talking about and the airport, I'm sure, and everything. Like, if you were an architect over there, that would be incredible. Can you imagine unlimited money, whatever your mind could possibly come up with.
Come up with something.
Like, you know how high you have to be to think about putting a stadium at that. You know what we should do? Let's put it up there.
It's like, really?
I think we could. Like that's such a two dudes high in their dorm room thought.
Wow.
And no, that's actually just a Middle Eastern architect. They're going to build it up there because they've got.
Let's put a football stadium on a skyscraper, man.
Exactly. They've got an amount of money that we don't even know the word for. Like it's not a trillion or whatever. It's more than that. It's all of the zeros that you've ever seen. So whatever they can dream up, they're going to build it. And they'll probably get an NFL game there.
Yeah, man. But still, they will get in the first thing. Yeah. But they'll have to, you know, play it all in a down month or whatever, down part of the year because it's 1,000 damn degrees over there.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
I think they should just play games in the
United States. And I will never, ever back off of that right there, that stance right there. It's cool that they're over there. Cool. I don't think they should be.
Yeah, exactly.
They're already doing a WrestleMania over there.
They actually should be playing right over here at Mercedes-Benz this Sunday.
It's cool, and I hope everybody that goes has an awesome time. I know Mike's over there sharing pictures. It looks like him and his wife are having a really good time. We've got some friends at church that made the trip that
really?
Going over there. Yeah, sounds awesome.
Okay.
It's an awesome fan experience if you can – you know, if you want to go to a city like that and you got the money to swing it, then that's great. I still think they should be playing down the road.
Yes.
I think that game should be right over there.
Yeah.
But they didn't ask me what I think. And every team will have one international game on their schedule in the next CBA,
yes.
I believe.
Yeah. I'm almost 100%
sure. I think
sure
they'll go to 18 games, and one of those games will be played overseas in one way or the other. And maybe that's where that second bye comes in.
You blasphemy.
Yeah, I agree. Completely.
Blasphemy.
Right, let's get to the big story of the day. It might be about that game. Brought to you by QC Kinetics. Non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
I have both. You know, I've done the week. You know, you go out there and you did a whole week down there and kind of you go through the process, you get acclimated. But this was back when it was a mandatory bye after.
Right.
Big you difference. Know, I've done the three-day trip. Basically, what we're doing again, you go on the Thursday. You get down there and you kind of get there. It was to London, so it was a little short of flight. So a little bit different in those aspects. You know, all the science people, you want to go spend the least amount of time as you can, you know, because there is no acclimation. And you don't want to get acclimated, especially when you're coming back to get involved and play. You know, all those things matter. So, like, we got a lot of smart people here, a lot of guys, like, put a lot of time into what's the best times, where do you want to go, how do you go. And then, obviously, there's some compromises met based on the things you got to do and the obligations that you have. And we did all those things. And, like, we're educating our players, you know, talking about hydration, obviously, is a big part of it when you're flying over there. You talk about the sleep schedule and how it should look when you get over there. You're talking about trying to keep them up when you do land.
Goodness gracious. It ain't that serious. It really ain't. It ain't that complicated. It really ain't, Andy. And you be telling me you got scientists and all these players. It ain't that dead. Some people collect checks for nothing.
Can you imagine, like, you're a scientist, right? Yeah. Like you went.
And I'm not taking away nothing.
No, sure. Yeah, what they're doing is actually science, but I'm just saying that the team doesn't need it. Like you're a scientist. You went to college. You went to extra college.
Yes.
You had to go forever. Yep. You're like top of your class. And now what do you do? I tell football players to drink water.
And go to sleep. And stay awake.
And go to sleep.
Come on, man. Like this is what I mean when we talk about these.
Sometimes I encourage them to have a Gatorade.
Come on, man. Come on, man. It ain't that serious. All right. I mean,
it is amazing though.
Wake your ass up and go play football.
What a business it's become, like that it has gotten to the level where there literally are a team of scientists.
Yes.
That every team employs.
Yes.
They don't just help them with when to sleep and drink water when they're in Germany.
No.
It's also like, hey, we don't want to practice very much.
Yes.
Make it sound like that's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And then they'll do that.
Yeah, our sports like we need to have the players on their feet for 25 minutes. Well, you know what? Your team is 3 and whatever, whatever. Maybe they wrong.
Yeah,
maybe they need to be out and practice a little bit longer.
Maybe they have terrible scientists.
Maybe. I don't know, man. But, I mean, all this overblown nerd crap.
We haven't gotten to that point of the Falcons season yet.
God.
We got to the everyone's mad at Arthur Blank and Rich McKay portion of the season. We've gotten to Raheem's capri pants. There's a lot of stuff. We haven't gotten mad at the scientists yet.
Yeah, man.
Maybe that's this weekend.
That's just whatever.
Scientists
man.
Not doing their jobs.
If your sleep scare, the Falcons will not. If the Falcons lose on Sunday, it ain't gonna be because of their damn sleep schedule and all that other crap.
I don't think so.
All right, it's not. Okay, so whatever. Man.
It'll probably be because they can't run the ball very well.
They can't run the football, and if they get all the sleep and the rest and all the water in the world, that ain't gonna make.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the problem is that there's no amount of sleep in the world that's gonna make Matthew Bergeron's back better than Matthew Bergeron. And you know, J.D. Bertrand is going to be playing linebacker probably, and he's not very good at it.
Yeah, man.
They're probably going to take advantage of that.
But they need to take advantage of the fact is that they are the underdog. Maybe the Colts are overlooking them. I doubt it. You know?
I doubt it.
I doubt it. But, I mean, they got to play, and we played the
clip
earlier.
I think I know how the Colts are looking at them. I think the Colts are looking at them as, all right, we can get right this weekend.
Get right.
Because we just had our worst performance of the year against Pittsburgh. Yep. We turned it over six times, and everything we had been doing wasn't working anymore.
And we're going against them.
We'll get back on schedule Sunday. That's how they're looking at it.
Yeah,
just like last week when we talked about the Patriots, we're like, they could win it. And it was like, and the Patriots are looking at it as we could be 7-2 at the end of the Sunday. And they were. And that's what the Colts are right now. They're 7-2.
They're a good team, man.
They're a good football team.
They're a very good football team.
Yeah, and this would, obviously you got to win the game on Sunday. That's the most important thing. Yes. But
as, no matter how, by hook or crook, Andy.
As the losses pile up, like it starts to get into a different conversation surrounding this season. Obviously, now you can win and you can keep the Wolves away for another week, and that's what they need to do on Sunday. But if they don't, then it's okay.
You
start doing math, and the math gets
the
real
math,
hard.
The math don't be math in favor of your team.
Yeah,
yeah. And so you're in a situation where, I mean, every game to me is a must win. I mean, I don't believe in you can trick off a game, or I definitely don't believe in the dumbass phrases. They need a loot. They need a loss. You know, they're undefeated and they need a loss.
Wouldn't it be a treat if someday we could have that conversation?
Oh, man, they're winning too many games in a row.
They're too good.
Yeah, they're too good,
you
man.
You know what they need is a loss.
They want to go into the playoffs with this long a win.
Yeah, they're peaking at the wrong
time.
Yeah,
like, God, get out.
Peaking.
Get out of here.
God, I'd love a team that peaked every once in a while.
I mean,
they haven't peaked in 8 years.
Eight damn years, Andy.
Yep.
8 damn years. And so, you mean.
Just give me a peak.
Yeah.
A lot of valleys.
But I think, I'll say it. Like, the game will be determined, in my opinion, how the first kick is. Because they're going to have a three and out. They're going to move the ball, and they're going to get in field goal range.
Sure.
How the first kick is approached by the Falcons.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying.
It would be beautiful if they could just score a touchdown on the first drive.
Yes.
Like, and that is allowed. I know they did it. I think they've done it once. They did it against Buffalo. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there was another game. Maybe Washington, possibly. Twice. Okay, they've done it twice. But yeah, that would be great. That'd be a great, because that's really, to me, and we spend a lot of time talking about what the defense is going to have to do against that Colts offense. Understandably, yes. The Colts offense is really good. It all comes down to the run game.
Yes.
Like, if the Falcons' run game can be effective,
I mean, just
they can win the game.
They can beat anybody.
They can beat anybody.
Yes, if that's what I'm saying. If it's always the key number is Tyler Algiers at 10.
Their run game has been effective 3 times.
Yep.
You know how many wins they have?
Three.
3 wins.
Yep.
Their run game has not been effective 5 times, and that's how many losses.
And if that's the case, then Michael Penix has got to he's got to be able to throw the ball.
He's
got to be able to throw it.
That would change the the thought process.
Yes.
There is, if the run game's not good, maybe the quarterback could play great, and he hadn't played great.
No, he has not. Hey guys, today, join Dukes and Bell. They're at Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram as they get you set for Thursday night's football. They're going to be broadcasting live from 2 to 6 while enjoying all the great food and drinks at Buffalo's Cafe. Again, Dukes and Bell today at Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram.
Smoking Joe Patrick will join us next. We'll obviously get his thoughts on a lot of what we were just talking about as the Falcons get ready to take on the Colts on Sunday morning. We'll get to the AMA at 1:40 as well. Thanks for being with us on a Trillville Thursday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
20 minutes away from the AMA, Ask Me Anything. To wrap the show up every single day at 1:40 on the midday show with Andy and Randy, all you got to do is call us up at 404-726-0929. Get on hold and ask us anything you want. We'll answer it to the best of our ability. What's that?
My cord all tangled up, man.
Oh, that'll happen.
Yeah, man.
You got to untangle your cord every now and then.
Yeah, but
just to keep it, you know, keep it straight.
Because usually when we have Joe on, Ryan Day's on TV, right? And we know he has, like, that the darkest of hair,
yeah,
and beard and everything like that,
yeah, like unnaturally
like. And we had another episode last night
with our guy Jalen Brown
episode
smudging people's jerseys.
Yeah. And my only thing is this: it's like, does it need time to dry, or
he's applying it too close to tip?
You know what I mean? Like, does it need time to dry, or something like that?
Is he using off brand?
I don't know.
I don't either.
He got too much damn money to use anything off-brand.
Yeah, he's got a lot of money.
Yeah, got too much stuff to use off-brand. But yeah, dog, just watching him rub that damn black stuff on other people's jersey. Is it a mechanism to, like, loosen up the defense?
Maybe it's an intimidation factor. Yeah. I don't know.
What's intimidating about?
I marked you.
Like black soot getting on somebody.
Well, you know how, like, dogs pee on stuff to mark their territory? Maybe he's rubbing his hair dye on folks to let them know.
That's your mind? Yeah. Like, they think he, like, Adebisi or something?
I don't know. It's a weird thing. It's a weird early season storyline. It's a weird thing
that has happened twice.
Yeah, man.
That has happened twice that some black shoe polish came off his head.
It's very, very
funny. I'm sorry.
Very funny. All right. I don't know if there's any logical way to transition. Oh, no,
I said
that
because Joe's an Ohio State fan.
I thought you were saying, okay.
I think Joe dyes his hair.
Bald.
Yeah, Joe is bald. Oh, no, Joe chooses to be bald.
I thought you were suggesting maybe that Joe to polish up.
No. Has Joe ever had hair? I've never seen Joe without a hat before.
I would imagine, like, a young adolescent Joe Patrick had a headache.
Yeah, because
At one point I did. It did exist at one point. What happened to guys? Like, I feel like, you know, like Michael Jordan was a chrome dome guy. He's, like, you know, one of the best basketball players of all time. I felt like when I was growing up, like, half the basketball players basically had a bald head.
They did.
It was all good. Now it seems like these guys are, like, way too ashamed to do that. I don't get it.
Another of the long negative legacies of LeBron James.
Yeah.
In the NBA.
It's LeBron's fault.
It's LeBron's fault.
Yeah, because he wants to hang on to his hair, so all the other guys want to wear them weird looking things.
Because in the 80s, he would have shaved that thing in 2005.
Yeah, man.
That sentence didn't make any sense. But you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, shaving him.
I remember the headband kept getting thicker.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah.
Like, he had special order headbands.
Like, all right, this is going to be a beanie before long.
Yeah, he has special, like, special order headbands.
Anyway, Smokin' Joe Patrick joins us. He's our Falcons reporter.
Joe, how close were you to being working from over there? How close was it?
How close? Well, I'm sorry. What do you mean?
How close was it that we were going to get Joe Patrick live from Berlin, Germany? Was it discussed?
Yeah,
was it discussed?
I would love to go over there and, you know, have some schnitzel. Is schnitzel something that you have? I don't. That's a food, right?
Yes.
And then drink some, get some Oktoberfest lagers in me.
Yes.
I could do that. I could do that for the station. You know, I mean, I'm humble, but I could do that.
Was it?
I don't know. I guess I just missed the cut. Is Bo going?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, if Bo goes, why can't you go?
Job. I could have done his job.
Yeah. I know you could. I could hand Wes a card. This segment here brought to you by Mercedes Benz.
Exactly. I bring binoculars to every game.
You do?
I actually do. And I'm happy to share, by the way. I'm like the guy, the weird guy in the press box who bust the binoculars out, and then everybody else around me is like, hey, can I borrow those real quick? And yeah, of course.
You share your binoculars? How you get pink eye? Oh,
that's a good point. That's what happened to Tua a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's how you get damn pink eye.
You got some Bushnells or what kind of?
Oh, my goodness.
What kind of, anyway.
Like a Tua Tagovailoa situation.
What was the difference last weekend on the, because there was some drives that really looked good, and obviously they scored a number of touchdowns and played better in the second half. And then there were drives that just never got off the ground, just like three and outs in like 14 seconds. What was the difference, in your opinion, on the ones that worked versus the ones that didn't?
I wish I kind of knew. You know, there was obviously some times where they were able to get the run game going a little bit more. It wasn't like consistent throughout the game, but it felt to me like when they targeted Drake London, that's when good things were happening, basically. And it was really frustrating to watch this team on third down for so much of the game. But obviously, especially in the second half, when they started converting their first third downs of the game, the offense did get going a little bit more. And I think it was just generally important to see Michael Penix do what he did in that second half, because it really felt like at one point we were on the verge of another blowout, you know, like an embarrassing blowout.
It did.
Yeah, before Jalen Walker knocked that ball out. So, you know, it was good to see them kind of come back. And, you know, like, Drake London's just that guy, you know, like, he's just able to make some plays and make this offense look so much better. We were talking last week. I remember when I came on, guys, you asked me, like, you know, who's the biggest missing piece, or what piece did they miss most from the Dolphins? And I kind of very quickly said Michael Penix, but Man, that game made me reconsider because this offense seems to function completely differently also when Drake London is in that game, and he gives you just an outlet that nobody else on this offense really even gives you, even Bijan Robinson, for as good as he is.
Hey, so I got, and you dive into more of the percentages and all these different things of this offense. So is there where is their percentage across the league as far as using the middle of the field in their passing game?
Yeah, no, it's I don't know if it's a cause for concern, but they certainly do it among the least in the NFL in terms of the completions over the middle of the field. We really saw it for the first time in the season in that game against the Commanders where they hit Drake London on one of those deep in routes. But they really have not done it. And I think it's kind of partly Zach Robinson and partly Michael Penix. Like I think Michael Penix prefers to throw outside the numbers, and therefore they kind of don't really design a whole lot of stuff. Although I will say, when you go back and watch the tape, there are receivers that come open over the middle of the field, and Michael Penix just is not looking there. And, you know, it's something that was, I don't know if it's a concern necessarily, but it was something that was noticeable coming out of Washington, which was that he just went to the boundaries a lot to make his big time throws. And there wasn't a lot, you know, down in those intermediate areas of the field, like 11 to 20 yards between the numbers. And, you know, it's kind of like that's where you have to be successful, in my opinion, in the NFL if you want to have that long-term success. And, you know, for as good of a – we were just talking about Drake London, for as much of an outlet as he is in those situations along the sidelines, you know, if you don't have him, that is when you have to start utilizing all the areas of the field and make those defenses cover every inch of grass. And, you know, that's where you got to be good in those situations. And, you know, Kirk Cousins was a quarterback who was supposed to, you know, do a lot of that. He obviously tried that a lot more, although he threw a bunch of interceptions last year in this scheme. So I think it's something they still got to work out between both Robinson and Penix.
I know that this is something that you have a lot of thoughts on, so I'm kind of just trying to tee you up on this one. But I think the number itself is pretty astonishing for if you're a Falcons fan. The idea that Tyler Allgeier has 10 carries in the last three games is pretty crazy, given how effective he's been at times this year. What does that fact, that number over the last 3 weeks, say to you about this offense?
Yeah, I mean, it says that the offense has not been playing well, and I think, you know, it's a chicken and egg kind of situation. Like, is the offense not playing well because they're not getting the ball to Tyler Allgeier, or is Tyler Allgeier not getting the ball because this offense isn't playing well? And I think, you know, there's obviously kind of some element of both of those things. It's never kind of always clearly one thing or the other, but I do think it's more that this team is not putting itself in position, not getting the game in a game state where they can give the ball to Tyler Allgeier. You know, like against the Dolphins, they were down, and you have to throw in those situations. When you get down in the game, you can't just be running the ball. And so, therefore, Tyler Allgeier is not going to see a lot of the ball. Kind of the same situation against the Patriots, where they're down, they're trying to, you know, scratch and claw their way back. There just were not many of those opportunities. But I think they could still get him the ball a little bit more, even in some of the early game situations where this team has been very happy to hand the ball to Bijan Robinson. You can never fault a team for one to do that, but I feel like you could even get, like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I feel like Bijan's getting a little bit bottled up, a little bit, like, kind of maybe even slowed down, just like kind of having dealt with so many hits and such over the course of the season, and that Tyler Allgeier might be the better option for you, especially on certain kind of schemes, run schemes that you want to go to, even early in the game, to get him the ball and let him, you know, bowl into some defenders and pick up some of those mush yards that they talk about at the point of contact. So I would like to see Allgeier get the ball more. I'm sure you guys, I think everybody would, but, you know, obviously it's more than just, you know, calling the plays for him. You got to be in position to be able to do that.
Hey, real quick, Joe, I know I was reading some clips from yesterday's presser. Ronnie Harrison, he says that Ross says that he's earned more snaps. Is that a good or bad thing?
That's a good thing. Okay. I mean, it's a good thing. You don't want to be in the situation, but, you know, it's a good thing for this Falcons defense because he is the better option than J.D. Bertrand. Right. And, you know, it's unfortunate that has happened, but it's right. I think it's the right decision. I think it's the right assessment of the individual players and the way that the defense basically performs when either of those guys are on the field. I think Ronnie Harrison gives them the best chance to win. And it's also, you know, there is also the upside of being able to develop Harrison a little bit as this guy who's a converted safety, I would still kind of consider him just like a big safety. When you look at him, he's really not like linebacker size in terms of like the thickness of his arms and legs and stuff, but you know, develop those instincts and keep working on them. And you know, that's the kind of player that Jeff Holbrook can really utilize now and down the road.
Injuries. Who do you think plays on Sunday? And I know we still have a couple more days of designations, but who do you think has a chance to go on Sunday, and who do you think is for sure out?
Well, on the defensive side of the ball, it's looking good because it seems like Billy Bowman and Zach Harrison are likely going to be able to play, especially Zach Harrison, who was back involved in practice. He's been in practice now. I believe he was a full participant yesterday. So that's really, really good news because this Falcons defense is totally different. Again, we're talking about like how the defense performs when certain guys are playing. I think Zach Harrison's played at like a Pro Bowl level. I don't know if he's necessarily going to make a Pro Bowl, but I think he's been that good and that much of a force. So that's going to be big. But obviously on the other side of the ball, you've got major issues along the front. Yeah. Matthew Bergeron is going to miss this game. Chris Lindstrom's going to be a game time decision, most likely. You'd think he'd kind of be like in the Jake Matthews school of like, you know, if he can possibly play, he'll give it a go, but we'll see on that. Either way, you know, you have Kyle Hinton, a guy, you know, just limited players basically to come in for them. And then longer term, Storm Norton, I asked Raheem Morris about him yesterday because I noticed he was a DNP last Friday and hadn't kind of been discussed. Well, turns out he could very well be out for the season potentially after, you know, he's not potentially not being able to return after his 21-day window had already opened as he had another setback. And Raheem Morris said it was not good news for the team. So going to be another thing. It was the reason why they signed the tackle, Andrew Stuber, as an acquisition on deadline day. And it's going to be something the Falcons navigate going forward.
Great info as always, Joe. Thank you.
Appreciate it, JP.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Smoking Joe Patrick there, 92.9 The Game Falcons reporter, every Thursday at this time.
Hey, guys.
Just a wealth of knowledge.
The third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic that is presented by Finley Roofing is coming up on Monday, November 24th. It is our third annual one. Even if you can't play, you can still help benefit a great cause. Go to 92.9thegame.com and click on the events page and donate to Pets for Vets. So if you can't make it, it's still a great charitable donation. So make sure you guys go over there and click on the link. And again, that's our third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic that is on Monday, November 24th, brought to you by Window Nation.
Even if you can't play,
yeah,
hang out at the bar with us.
We'll be there.
We'll be broadcasting.
Drinking Transfusion with Dr. Fusion.
So what will we be drinking then?
Liquor.
Okay. All right. We'll come back and get to it. Amen. Because there was a different way I could have taken that, but I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Phone lines open, 404-726-0929. Load them all the way up and ask us anything you want. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org, the AMA to wrap the show up every single day at the end of the show. Yeah.
We found Wes's doppelganger. Is it doppelganger?
Or like relative.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Mike Elko.
Wes Durham.
Could be.
Yes.
Could be brothers.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the way.
You see that.
And when Wes has that, especially when Wes has a hat on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe it's, I don't know what it
is. It's the hat and the glasses.
It's
the hat and the glasses.
For sure.
It's the hat and the glasses.
Yeah. Well, that's a, you know. It's a good doppelganger to have.
Hell yeah.
Man, it's number three in the country right now.
Give me that paycheck, too.
Yeah. I think I remember, I was flipping around to all the games last weekend, but Wes was on the Duke-Clemson game.
Yeah.
Right? Well, that game was incredible.
But it was so funny because his co-host, I don't know who is, because Wes is the play-by-play guy. The analyst guy he was funny as hell, man. And because I listened to them as the Falcons, I'm like, that ain't Dave. And I said all the time, whenever he's working, I would say, that ain't Dave, though.
Right.
It ain't Dave.
I know.
I was like,
that day I was driving around, Dukes and Bell.
Yeah.
I was like, this feels like.
Steve Adazi, okay, thank you. Yeah, it's always
left-handed.
Yeah, like, that ain't Dave, though.
Yeah.
That ain't Dave.
Agreed. There's a few phone lines available if you want to jump on hold, 404-726-0929. All you got to do is call us up and ask us a question. We'll start with Chuck in Dunwoody. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, Chuck, go ahead.
Okay, bye, Chuck.
Man, that didn't go.
Yeah, bye, Chuck.
That didn't go great at all.
Yeah, bye, Chuck.
Matthew is in Canton. Hey, Matthew.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Matthew.
Hey.
So I really thought Joe Patrick had hair until, you know, like 2 days ago when I saw him on a post-game report. So, you know, he's got a voice that sounds like a man with hair.
But, yeah, he does. I agree.
The question would be, so who is somebody who you had only heard their voice and then they looked totally different when you saw them in person?
Oh, man.
Such a great question.
Devin in Kansas City.
Yeah, Devin in Kansas Devin, City. Is
Devin,
a great
Devin
one.
In yeah. Kansas City. Definitely. Definitely. Devin in Kansas City.
How did he sound versus how he looks?
Like he's a big. He's a brother, but not like Redbone.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
kind of looks like Aaron Donald.
A little bit, but like, yeah, a little yeah. Smaller. I didn't. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Devin being a Redbone threw me off.
Yeah, that's a good one. It happens. Like, I think people would be shocked to see, you know, big voice guy at
yes,
the station.
Yes.
All the promos and big voice, like Steve, and Steve's a perfectly fine looking guy, but he's you wouldn't think
would
he doesn't
never
sound
think,
how
you would
he looks.
Never think that
he's the most normal looking guy.
Yes.
Oh, hey, we got Wes Durham on the AMA.
What up, Wes?
His ears must have been ringing. Hey, Wes.
What the hell you mean I look like Mike Elko?
Come on, Wes, with the hat and the glasses.
Yeah, like a younger, better like a, looking Mike Elko.
I wouldn't go all that way, but I was like, Wes, you look, you got. I mean, it's I no Mike Elko looks like Wes.
Yeah.
How about this?
Yeah.
That sound better?
Yeah.
Mike Elko's Penn educated. That cat's got a lot of mind and a lot of money.
That's what I said. I said you would want the check, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. Nah, we need to hold some of that money, Randy. I ain't going to lie now.
When are you guys leaving for Berlin, Wes?
The team leaves this afternoon.
So we asked Dave what he was doing on Wednesday when you get over there. So what is – because I know you can't call a game and then leave from the game and go over there, so obviously you're going with the team. So what is going to be your agenda while you're over there? Come on, man.
I'm not doing the game.
Oh, you're not doing the game?
No.
See, he answered that question in a very strange way.
He did.
The team leaves today.
Hold on. I'm confused.
I'm confused.
Squid
too.
On analysis?
Squid is doing analysis?
I'm doing TV Saturday night.
Oh, okay.
Who's calling the game?
Who's calling the game?
Justin Kutcher, who did preseason television.
Oh,
Boston University graduate Justin Kutcher. So good hands.
Damn, Wes, they're gonna leave you.
It you know, it's complicated.
All right.
Well, have fun, Wes.
Have fun, Wes.
Have fun, Wes.
I'm doing. Hey, Randy, I'm doing Clemson, Florida State.
Oh,
Saturday night.
Okay. Oh, damn, Wes. Sorry.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, well, you know, Keith Jackson did that game one time.
It's true.
That is true. Keith Jackson, Keith Jackson did a lot of games. I'm sure that what he did. Do you think when Keith Jackson called that game that this Florida State team and this Clemson team were playing each other?
No.
Yeah.
But I.
No.
I know you're going to make it sound good.
I know you are.
I know that.
Well, we got you on, because I want that, because we played the dabble sound earlier. Wes, what's going on with that team, Wes?
I think Clemson's biggest opponent is Clemson, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I think there are a couple teams like that in college football. I'd say Penn State probably falls in that category.
Right.
And Randy, you're probably one of the few guys. In fact, I just had lunch with some people who we were talking about this. I think anybody who played the game at a high level, really in both leagues, like college football, major college football, and the NFL, you can understand this. There's a quotient to this that right now we didn't account for as college football followers, fans, media, observers, whatever you want to call it. And that is the piece that came with money can change you if it's not processed and handled the right way.
That's true.
And I think we're seeing that in some places in college. And I don't know that that's exactly what's going on at Clemson, but it makes no sense that Clemson and Penn State have that much talent back from successful teams a year ago and are having the kind of seasons they're having. It made no sense that Florida State had that 2 years ago or last year after the season they had 2 years ago. But I think we're seeing it in bits and pieces. And I don't think it's one thing, but I think that's a contributing factor sometimes. And, look, we're only going to learn more about all the things that have come with the addition of resources in college football. But I'm willing to put some of that on it. And Clemson – They've given up too many plays in the middle of the field, man. They've given up 8 pass plays of 20 or more yards in the last 2 games, including 4 touchdowns.
Damn. Yeah, they ain't going to win that way. Well, Wes, have a great call, and I promise you, I'm still going to think he looks like he's on the TV right now.
Thanks for calling,
appreciate Wes. You, my brother. Appreciate you, Wes.
Take care, guys. You sound great. You guys are fun to listen to. Thanks.
Thank you, Wes. Wes Durham there, the voice of the Falcons.
We were talking earlier about the Braves and options. Pierce Johnson, they just declined his option.
Okay.
Wasn't he their best receiver? Wasn't he one of the best better relievers?
He was pretty good, but yeah. I mean, the whole
thing. They may bring those guys back, just lower number.
Okay. But also, you know, I'm not anything that you're doing to change that bullpen, I'm supportive of.
Yes.
Based on what it looked like last year. All right. Nice of Wes to call in. That was fun. Brandon is in Kennesaw. Hey, Brandon.
What's going on, boys? Appreciate the time. We're going to play a good old classic marry, kill, and hook up. Maybe not kill. Maybe just send one to the moon or something.
Okay, sure.
Okay, so marry, kill, marry, send one to the moon, and hook up with one. Obviously, you guys are married, but just pretend you guys weren't. Okay. You pretend this was 20 years ago. Alicia Keys, Missy Elliott, and Paris Hilton. What you got? I'm going to hang up and listen. Appreciate y'all.
I'm so confused. What happened?
So you got to marry one of them?
Uh-huh.
You got to send one of them to the moon.
Okay.
Because it's normally kill, but we're not killing anybody.
Okay, no, we're not
going to
do that.
And then you got to hook up with one of them.
Okay, marry, moon,
I want to marry Alicia Keys.
I want to marry Alicia Keys. Have you seen her from behind that piano?
I have.
Yeah.
So you hooking up with Paris Hilton or Missy Elliott?
I'm hooking up with Paris Hilton. I'm sending Missy to the moon.
I see Paris to the moon.
Okay.
Yeah, fair enough. Mean.
We don't have to fight over that.
That's just too skinny. That's just too skinny.
Fair enough.
And I don't want everybody to see my woman that done seen my woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I done seen Missy. Missy got some yams.
Sure.
Yeah, Missy got some yams. Like, I could convert her.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I don't know how into us Missy would be, but maybe. I don't know. I don't know about
dude,
Missy.
She had a baddie water, dude. Like, she she walked in the spot and had the baddest one in
good
there.
Good for her.
I was like, we were like, damn.
That's a random collection of people.
That's really random. But yeah, you can have Paris. Paris needs stew.
I'll give her some stew.
And some chili and some grits.
Uh huh. We're gonna do all that.
Yeah, swell her up.
We're gonna do all. She's gonna be swollen.
Yeah, she's a little thin.
All right, Rich is in Alpharetta. Hey, Rich.
What up, fellas?
Hello, Rich.
So two questions. One's easy. The next one's a little stressful. So first question. Okay. Yeah, I know. Just bear with me.
All right. So gearing up for it.
When I lived in Miami, right, they used to have this thing called Santa's Enchanted Forest. Just think of a carnival, but for Christmas stuff.
Uh-huh.
So when y'all go to, like, the carnival or the fair, what's one food or delectable you always got to get? Mine is an elephant ear.
Okay.
Oh.
The next thing is, like, a little story behind it. So 2 days ago, I'm driving in my car, not the main car, the other car. And I have a couple errands to run, and I'm behind this little truck, the Mack trucks with the roof knot on top of it, and a rock came out, spiderweb cracked my windshield, upset.
Yeah.
Maybe like an hour later, I'm still running around fuming over that. I see the tire pressure sensor come on the dashboard, and I pull over and look, the tire flat. I'm like, yo, are you serious right now? Like, I was so upset, I couldn't even be mad. There was no type of remorse. It was no, you couldn't even see it on me. I was just like, man, whatever.
Right.
I put on a spare, went to the place, bought a new tire, and went home. Like, I felt like that was two strikes. Three would have been something that had me crashing out, as the kids say. Yeah,
smart.
What was the last time you had something where it's like this little devil knocking at your door, like, you know what? Maybe you need to go home. Like, just
that's a great
restart over. Now, today, not today.
Yeah.
When's the last time?
That's a great question. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to pack it in.
Yeah, man. All the time.
Not for me.
Yeah, all the time.
Regularly?
Yeah.
Like what? Like, it builds up to this sucks and I got to go?
Yeah.
Like when?
Anytime I'm out anywhere.
Just you being out, strike two already.
Yeah, man. But the thing about it, like, my thing, because there's specific reasons why I'm a homebody. Mm-hmm. One, because I was always out in the streets.
Yeah.
Randy, everybody knew Randy's going to be in the streets. So I'm out of that one. When I get out now, the issue now is that, and my wife, she gets on me about this all the time. Like, I'll go overboard. Like, if we're going to dinner, I have to, like, have, like, 14 other appetizers. I make sure I get all. And so I eliminate myself from that by standing at home.
Yeah, you're not going to have any appetizers.
I'm not going to have any appetizers at home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
My wife saved me from doing that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, she always saves me.
Because I was, you know, you're getting ready to go, and you got little kids are just impossible to get out the door and all that. And I don't remember. Some other stuff had happened that day. I don't remember. But we were trying to get over to go celebrate the wedding of our buddy Brian, the Georgia fan. He had his little get-together at the brewery that day. and it was couldn't get out the door. And I was like, you know what? To hell with it. We're not going. I don't want to do this. We're out. We're staying home. And she was like, well, we're pretty packed up. Like, all we have to do is now get in the car.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, I don't want to. And she was like, just take a minute. I'll get them in
get
the car.
Get yourself together.
Take a minute. Get something cold to drink, little fella. She didn't say that, but pretty much.
Get yourself together.
Quit being a baby and get in the car. So I thank her for that. Because I was ready to just cancel all of it.
There's this dinner next week that I got the invitation for. It's like for, you know, former players, like the trust thing. And it's at a restaurant that my wife has been wanting me to take her. And so I swear to you, and I got the invitation on Tuesday. And as soon as I got there, she texted me, she said, when are we going to go to this place? I was like, you'll never guess the text I just got from this place. And so she's like, I think it was yesterday. She was like, are you going to go? I said, no, you don't want to go, baby. You need to get out of the house. All right, go be around somebody that's not you. I was like, what are you talking about? I see Andy every day.
Every day.
Every day. She's like, go see somebody. Go see somebody other than yourself.
And it's not like a stressful job. We come here and have fun.
Hell yeah, dog. But that's funny because the same way, like, eventually you get to more like, all right, you know what, Doug? I just sit here.
Yeah, never mind. Nobody's having any fun tonight. And then we had fun. We watched the second half of the Georgia Ole Miss game with people, so that was cool. It was all Georgia fans there. It was a good time. Mm-mm. They had good beer. The bartender at Gate City Brewery. God, what was his name? This sucks. I forget, but he was real. Wiley.
Uh-huh.
Wiley. Gave me a couple free beers. He's a big listener to the show.
Hey, Wiley!
That was really nice. Shout out to Wiley. All right, let's get the takeaway of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy.
Wiley.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know how I am with names?
Yeah, because his name's probably William.
I think it's Wiley. It might have been Wyatt.
Yeah, it's got this takeaway. Joe sounds like a man with hair. And me and Andy both had an opportunity to name our child Jafar.
And passed. Yeah. I don't think Wes thinks he looks like Mike Elko. Pick that one up. Also, on a couple weeks from now at the Brown Grass Classic, we're going to be having some transfusions without the fusion.
Yeah, man. Just liquor.
Cat yammed all over Rudy Gobert last night.
Yeah.
NFL is a one-pump league. Sippers love the sip. Do not share your binoculars.
Yeah, we get pink eye.
Society was better when we were shaming weirdos.
Damn sure was.
I think that's true. I know people call it bullying. I'm not advocating for bullying.
Never.
But you had to keep some of that stuff to yourself. I think it was better, personally.
Oh, yeah. Dude, all the time. Like, can the freaks go back undercover?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't just come out at night anymore, Randy.
Nope.
It's 2:00 in the afternoon. I'm going to walk to my car. I was going to see 6 freaks. I guarantee it. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.